through 6. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You may be seated.
It is great to have you with us. It's great to have everybody in one service. Appreciate Jeff and the songs that he led and the men who've led us in worship thus far. Appreciate each of them. And your singing out, it seems to have much more of a buzz or energy in the air with all of us being together in one service. You know, when we think back and think about how long it has been since we've been all together and the pandemic and the effects that it has brought upon us, and now I am personally, and I'll be talking to it in kind of past tense because we're moving forward. I appreciate Jeff leading the song, Count Your Many Blessings, and we ought to pause and give thanks for our congregation and how we have come through it. I know many congregations that have suffered greater losses and loss of life physically and financial wealth and other things during this, and I know we've been affected by it, but we've been really blessed as a church, physically with those who got the virus, were able to recover and do well with it. For the most part, we've been really blessed, and I'm thankful for that. We've also been blessed that after a year of dealing with this and so many lack of assemblies and having to change assemblies and cancel assemblies and all the things we've done, to now be able to gather back with each of you present, with the future and the opportunities yet before us, and the good contributions and the good attendance that we have here today. And so I think we need to count our blessings, be thankful, and look at the opportunities that we have before us. And so I think that's what I'm trying to do in the lessons that we're doing, on stirring us up to reminding you of some key things. And one of the things that I want to remind you of today is the importance of our fellowship and the importance of loving one another. And as Joel mentioned, we know that there have been some that are casualties spiritually of the pandemic, that their faith grew cold during this time, that maybe there are those who their faith has just waned and not as strong as it used to be. Maybe all of us in some way are in that category, and I think it's time to re-examine our own faith, to also look around and see who is not here and think about what we need to do to get them back and to recover full attendance of where we were and to go past that. It's time for the church to refocus again on its mission and developing enthusiasm and passion for the work and future of the church. You know, I think in many ways the pandemic was brought and used by Satan and attacked churches and the work of the church directly. When you think about a church being empty and live streaming services and all the things that the pandemic and what we were asked to do during that, how it attacks church. It attacks church in that worship was described as dangerous, and assembling, of course, because anytime you get a group together, that's a problem when you're dealing with the virus. So worship and assembling was something that was a direct attack by the pandemic. Outreach was directly attacked because it is the idea that you're going to try to reach out to people, get to know people, contact people, bring them into your assemblies. Well, first of all, you're not supposed to reach out and talk to new people that much, and then you're certainly not supposed to bring them in as a part of the cautions that were asked during the pandemic. And then the pandemic attacked fellowship, and that is close bonds and ties together, needing time and communication to be in the same place together, eating the same food together. It created independent people instead of people dependent upon one another. And then it attacked the teaching of God's Word because it was limited, and the praise in God because worship had to be limited. When you think about all these things, if you were to say to Satan, Satan, I want to give you the pandemic, I think Satan jumped all over that. In other words, I think Satan used, maybe helped cause, bring about, and all of it, all these things are directly attacked upon our worship, upon our evangelism, upon our fellowship, and upon our edification, upon our scriptural knowledge. And so all these things were attacked. And one of those that was attacked, maybe most directly, is what we want to talk about, of reminding us again of our fellowship and our worship together. And so when you add that upon the idea of the division that was prominent politically and opinions and virus and all those things, that it's a ripe situation. And so we need to count our blessings. Count our blessings that as Satan attacked us, we're coming through that a year later and we're saying, Satan, you're not getting my soul. Satan, you're not going to destroy this church. In a year that when there's average, like, sir, I forget the number of the, on an average year, the number of churches closed in America. This year it was like four times that. It was incredible the number of churches. In a year when churches are closing, we're saying no. In a year where churches are dividing, we're saying no. In a year where people are leaving the faith, we're saying no. I'm here a year later. I want to love my brethren. I want to sit beside them. I want to sing beside them. I want to take communion with them, because Satan, some things are more important than me being independent and doing what I want to do. It's about my fellowship, my worship, my spirituality. And your presence here this morning says that to Satan. Your presence here this morning says that to God, that you value spiritual things even over physical things. And then a year later, what matters to you is what mattered still before: worship in the Lord's house. And so we need to be reminded of the importance of fellowship and what draws us together. And so I want to talk, first of all, about the basis of our Christian fellowship. What draws us together? And the first thing that we should emphasize is that the basis of our fellowship, what draws us together, is Jesus. You know, all kinds of things were attacked. Any public gathering was attacked. Anything that draw them together. For example, if they're having an event, a basketball game, well, that had to be severely limited because the basketball is drawing people together. If you're going to have a concert, and of course theaters and concerts and movies, all those things suffered greatly during the pandemic because they couldn't have concerts. Why? Because people were coming together, they were being drawn together to listen to a concert, and so you couldn't have that. Well, why are people drawn together to worship? The one thing that draws us together is not a ball game, it's not a concert. The one thing that draws us together is Jesus. The basis of our coming together, the basis of our fellowship, is Jesus. So when we're reading the Bible and think about this idea, what draws us together as Christians and what brings us into fellowship with one another is our relationship with Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We have this idea here that Paul is expressing, that we are supposed to love one another with a brotherly affection. We are brethren in Christ. We are brothers and sisters of one another. How are we in the family of God? Because of Jesus. When we think about what Paul is emphasizing, this is what the early church experienced when these people had come in Acts chapter 2 from all these different places. You can read that list of places they had come from earlier in verses 8 through 11. And they'd come from all these places to Pentecost. And we find in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The term fellowship involves the idea of a joint participation or a common union. We just observe communion. That's the adding of these two words together to make one word, a common union. We are celebrating our communion together. That's fellowship. And so when we think about the mutual relationship we have, it all comes through Christ. We're bound together through Christ. As Paul would write to the Galatians in Galatians 3:27, or chapter 3, verse 28, after talking about our baptism, He says in that occasion that we are joined together, both male and female. He says, there is now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There's no male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What binds us all together, whether we are young and old, rich or poor, different races, different backgrounds, from different areas, what binds us together is our oneness in Christ. And that's what John was talking about in 1 John that Joseph read for us in chapter 1. And he's talking about our fellowship that we have, and about how this fellowship that we have is in Christ. He says in verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship, you may have joint participation, you can have a common union with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When we invite people to become Christians, we're inviting them into fellowship with us, and what we're saying is, you be in fellowship with Jesus, because I'm in fellowship with Jesus. When you're in fellowship with Jesus, you're in fellowship with us. We have a communion, a joint participation together. We have fellowship. And that's what Philippians chapter 2, Paul is writing, and he's talking about this same idea to the church there. And he's talking about fellowship, and he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any fellowship or participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being of full accord. We need to have the same joy and same mind and be of full accord. We can be together because we are all in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I would say this morning that if you want to have fellowship, if you want a family of God to love you, if you want people to care about you, and then be a part of the church. Get into fellowship with Jesus, and we will love you. We will care about you. You will be our brother. You'll be our sister, because you're in participation with Christ. But people that are outside of Christ, people that have rejected Christ, people that aren't Christians, then there's still a wall there of division. There's still something that separates us, because you're in the world and you're not in fellowship with Jesus. You don't have the blood of the Lamb upon you, and so there's a difference. And so I would say to you that the basis of our fellowship in the church is Jesus. When we talk about fellowship, we think about meals. People ask, you know, are y'all having fellowship meals yet? Some churches are going back to fellowship meals. Been seeing that, and churches talking about that and having fellowship meals. And here's the thing. Fellowship meals are good. I mean, I like to eat fellowship meals. I miss them. But here's the thing. That's not what all of our fellowship consists of. We can have fellowship without having any meals. It's not that we just have a fellowship meal and that's all of our fellowship. No. Fellowship is not something we do. It's something we have. It's something we possess. In other words, the meals, and they only provide an opportunity for us to share in a meal together and enjoy that time together. But we possess fellowship. We possess a relationship with one another. We possess a connection, a brotherhood, a family, all through Jesus. And so when we think about fellowship, it's not just something that we do, like have a meal or go outside and play or something like that, but it's what we have. And we need to be reminded that we have fellowship, and then we have a commitment to one another because of that fellowship. So that leads me to the next point, the need of Christian fellowship. In other words, when I realize that I have fellowship, that there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. No such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. That you are in fellowship with others. You're a part of the church, and therefore you have a need of other Christians. We need others. I agree with what Joel said. I hope that we don't go back to normal and forget the need we have of one another, and that when that is taken away, the isolation and the the depression and the discouragement and the opportunity for us to let our light go out for Christ is so much more because we need one another. We need corporate worship assemblies. We need Bible classes. We need fellowship. We need these things because we need one another. Jesus relied upon his apostles. He relied upon his apostles. When you look at how he had a relationship with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and the fellowship he had there. In the New Testament, there are many one another passages where the Bible talks about do these things to one another. I want to read some of them. The Bible says, I'm not going to give the scripture reference, I'm just going to read what it says for us to do. All of these in the New Testament. Be at peace with one another. Don't grumble against one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Don't envy one another. Speak truth to one another. Be kind and forgiving to one another. Bear with one another. Comfort one another. Encourage and build up one another. Seek good for one another. Stimulate one another to good deeds. Confess sins to one another. Be hospitable to one another. Love one another. Serve one another. Tolerate one another. Give preference to one another. Be subject to one another. Pray for one another. And be humble to one another. You think God intended us to live together? Those are all commands from the New Testament. We're supposed to be a one another people. That is, you cannot take the another away from the Christian and just be a one. You are supposed to be a one another Christian. That is, you are connected and involved with others. And so we must understand that it's so important that we need one another. We need one another. We need love. And we need to be loved. It's important to understand that the number one reason why people leave the church after becoming a part of the church, after becoming in fellowship with Christ and being in the church, why do they leave? It's not because Christ changed. It is the number one reason is because they don't get connected at a relationship level with other people in the church. And talking about the Satan's attack through the pandemic, that's what Satan attacked, right? He disconnected us for a long time and tried in many ways, and you had to work hard to be connected because that is the number one thing that causes people to leave and lose faith. Is they get disconnected from others. They lose the one another aspect of Christianity. And when you get disconnected and you get to be on your own, it's like taking that ember, that coal out of the fire and you're setting it to a side. When it gets disconnected, it loses the heat of the fire and it grows cold. You see, we need to love. We need love and we need to be loved. There's a story about a young lady, a young mother from Oklahoma that was one of the worst days of her life, and she had had all these things go wrong. The washing machine broke. The phone kept ringing. My head ached. The mailman brought a bill. She had no money to pay. And she had just lifted her one-year-old up from his high chair, and she just laid her head down crying, and the one-year-old took his passy out and tried to put it in her mouth. You know, we all sometimes have days like that, don't we? We all have times where we just want to lay our head down and cry, and we're just upset and we're hurting. We need love, and we need to love others. We need one another. We need one another. And thus we understand that it's important for us to encourage and build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It's important, Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, for us to come to worship, to stir one another up to love and good works, and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why God commanded us to come to worship, because He knew that we needed to have people in these seats to encourage one another. We need love, and we need to be loved. In fact, this is how people will know, John 13, 34. It's how they'll know we are Christians. By our love for one another. But notice, when we think about the basis is Jesus. The need is for one another, for Christian fellowship. But then there is the expression of Christian fellowship. So how do we express our fellowship? We express it through our sharing. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sins. We have fellowship with one another through this blood of Jesus, which is cleansing us. We become a part of His family. And then when you go back to the early church, back to Acts chapter 2, and you see what they shared, look at verses 42 through 47. They're going to share four key things. They're going to share their possessions. They're going to share their presence. They're going to share their plates. And they're going to share their praise. Let's read verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done to the apostles. And all who believed were together. And they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. That's possessions. So they are sharing their needs with one another. This is a sharing, giving church. If you're not aware, we have our Everyone Counts program where each Sunday we ask everyone in attendance to give a dollar as a part of your contribution. And we take that money each week and whatever the attendance is during the pandemic, we've just been doing $200 each week. But under normal Sundays, as we get back above that, we'll go whatever that number is above that. And we give that out to anyone who has a need that is referred by one of our members. Sharing of possessions. That's fellowship. We've shared with one another through this pandemic in numerous ways. And we have a food pantry. And we have all kinds of resources available to provide and help for people. Sharing possessions. Fellowship involves sharing possessions. But notice also it involves sharing your presence. They were together, verse 44. And they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing. And then verse 46, day by day, fellowship is not just accomplished on Sunday. Fellowship involves presence and doing things together, helping one another out, being involved in each other's lives in often smaller group assemblies, maybe even just family and family or two friends or two brothers or two sisters or a group of sisters or a group of brothers. But it involves doing things together outside of just our normal worship. Fellowship involves our presence. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. And notice it involves our plates. That's right. Got to eat, right? Food and table fellowship is one of the most important fellowships we can have. We have it in the communion, but we also have it through our fellowship meals. We've done some meals even over the last year when outside and do burgers and things like that to make it safe. But sharing fellowship together, going out to eat on Sunday night together, going over to one another's homes, having the youth group together and being a host to the youth group or host to KFC devotionals. Why do we have food at those things? Because food gives us an opportunity for fellowship. We need that. We need that. The plates. You got to share your plate with one another. And then praise. All throughout this passage, we see them worshiping God. And they are praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. Our fellowship, your fellowship with the church should involve those things. You ought to be sharing your possessions. You ought to be sharing your presence. You ought to be sharing your plates. And you ought to be sharing your praise. If you've not been sharing those things, I would say that you feel disconnected. You don't feel close to people. You don't feel like you're a part of it. you use the pronouns them and they instead of we and us. When the church is doing something, it's, well, they are doing that instead of we're doing that. When they're having a meal and there's fellowship going on, you're thinking about what you're going to do to be a part of that, and we're going to go and be a part of that instead of they are going to have that. You see the difference? The expression of Christian fellowship is sharing. That's what we teach our young children, right? Got to share. Being friends, being brethren, involves sharing. And then the final thing that we want to note is that the result of Christian fellowship, the result of Christian fellowship is a powerful testimony. A powerful testimony. Look at John chapter 3 in verse 35, where Jesus is talking about our love for one another. And he's going to speak about the testimony that we can give off to others. I'm going to start in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, for you also ought to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. People are going to know by your love. Now if you look to 1 John chapter 3, he talks about this love expressed in the church, in the fellowship that we are to have. And he says in verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. For whoever does not love abides in death. For everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. For by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. For if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? For little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. People will know you're Christians by your love. You know, we think about what's being called the post-pandemic world, and people talk about post-pandemic church. And I would talk about the post-pandemic church growth and how are churches going to grow in a post-pandemic world where churches have experienced such dramatic changes, and the way people view church has changed, and people have often become disconnected and church attendance is down. And the churches that are going to be prominent, churches that are going to grow, are going to be the churches that do what I'm talking about this morning. Churches that have a clear mission and they love one another and they reach out to the lost, they reach out to the communities of their world and they meet needs of their communities and they show the love of Christ so that people say there's something different about them. And it gives people a reason to not just avoid and skip church and do something else on Sunday, not just to stay home and watch it on TV, but it gives people a reason to be here because they understand those people know how to love me. Those people care about my soul. They care about my family. They care about my kids. They care about us being together. The churches that are going to grow in the next 10 years are going to be the churches that do fellowship right. If you don't love one another, then you're not going to be a growing church. If you don't love the lost and reach out to the lost, you're not going to be a growing church. If you have a holy huddle where you just pull all your resources in and you focus on yourself, you're not going to be a growing church. The result of Christian fellowship is a powerful witness to the world. Because, brethren, there are people out there that are struggling more today than they have in years. And they're wanting something to hope in. They're wanting people to love them. They're wanting people to believe in them. And the church, the Christians that do it right and reach out of love, out of care, and without fear, are going to be the churches that grow. And sadly, many of them are not going to be teaching the truth. They're not going to be teaching the truth. They're going to teach them false doctrine. Brethren, we need to do that, and we also need to teach them the truth. We need to reach out to them in love, but we need to also teach them the truth. And so that's the challenge. It's a challenge for churches of Christ to have a fellowship and an outreach that is one of love and one of family, so that people can see the love we have for them and the love we have for one another. When we think about fellowship, it's based upon Jesus. It is a need of one another. It involves sharing, and it is a powerful testimony to the world. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I invite you to become a child of God. I invite you to have fellowship with Jesus and have fellowship with the church. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.